for the most part, what I see from the majority of you that I work with who are listening to this, from those of you who message me on Instagram, where I find that most people are getting stuck is they create these black and white rules and they tell themselves these stories that go something like this. Every time I go out to eat, I'm upset with what I see on the scale in the coming days. So I pretty much just assume that if I want to lose weight, I cannot go out to eat at all. That's the answer. I just can't drink. And that then spirals into, because I don't want to give those things up, I'm instead going to resign myself to the fact that I can't lose the weight, that I am not able to both have this vibrant social life, to live my best life, and also have the physique that I want. This episode is going to completely dispel that. And again, the number one way you can do that, even if you listen to nothing else that I'm about to say, I promise you the number one way you can do that is if you stop hanging on to timelines.
Let's link up with Krista on The Fix. She's a wellness coach with a focus on mental well-being and physical strength.
What's up, Fix listeners? Welcome back to our latest episode of the Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Huber, and today is a very special day, you guys, for a few different reasons. If you are listening to this episode the day that it drops, this day only comes around once every 4 years. It is February 29th, and it holds a very special place, a near and dear place to my heart, because it's actually my younger brother's birthday. So shout out to my brother, Dane. He is a leap year baby, which I think is so freaking cool. Happy leap year to everybody. And while that has nothing to do with today's episode, I would be remiss not to acknowledge it, first of all. And second of all, I think all of us need to take a second to just acknowledge that this day, this extra day that we technically have within this year, because think about this. Every year we have 365 days, except for every four, when we get blessed with 366. So before I even get into today's topic, I want you to set your intention. If you're listening to this first thing in the morning, perfect. If you're listening to this in the afternoon, cool. This could potentially turn your entire day around or just really get you thinking about the way you want to go into this weekend, which also happens to be a brand new month. And the weekend is relevant to what I'm about to talk about. So it's perfect timing. But how cool is it? Like, how amazing is that? The fact that we get this extra 24 hours to do something with our lives this year, right? So just pause, take a second to think about that. And if that's not your perspective today, if maybe you feel like you woke up on the wrong side of the bed and you're like, ugh, it's another Thursday or whatever day you happen to be listening to this, if it's not the day that it goes live, flip it right now, reword it and tell yourself how awesome is it that I got the chance to grab this extra 24 hours. And even if I use 1 hour, and maybe it's the 30 something minutes that you're listening to this podcast episode, if you use that as your opportunity to do something for you, to better yourself in some way, even in the tiniest way, you can walk away from this day knowing that it was collectively a 24 hours well spent. Even if it's just that one little snippet of time, that's your win for the day. I'm claiming that for you before I dive into this topic. Now, this episode is perfectly timed for your weekend. It's perfectly timed for a brand new month. And that's because I have been seeing a lot of great interest on my Instagram stories and on a few of my Instagram posts in me talking about managing my own social life. And if you haven't seen on my Instagram yet, this is the year of 30 for me, which I'm very excited about. My birthday hasn't happened yet. And trust me, you guys will know when it does because we are going to do something fun. I already have it all planned out and I can't wait to share it, but still have several weeks before that happens. But I've kicked off the celebrations of a bunch of friends inviting me to 30th birthday parties. And I'm recording this in advance. So I'm actually about to leave to go to my fourth weekend of birthdays in a row, if I do the math on this. Yes, because February is also a very popular series of birthdays in my family too. So I had lots of different birthdays. I had plans literally every single weekend over the month of February. And as I sat back and thought about that, I thought about all the different versions of Krista that have shown up inside of different seasons of celebration as it relates to thinking about my fitness and nutrition. And I got to share with you guys, this is my proudest version of myself because I feel like I finally cracked the code on how to do a few things. First and foremost, enjoy myself and choose when I want to have a couple drinks. Think about how I'm navigating going out to eat a little bit more frequently, as that's what people tend to do to celebrate birthdays. And as I kind of reflected on all of this and started sharing about it on social media, I realized there are so many different ends of the spectrum on this topic in terms of the instructions or suggestions on how a lot of coaches might break this down. And first of all, before I tell you what I've been doing, I want to say this. The best coaches will always tell you that the choice to eat out, the choice to have a few drinks, the choice to maybe pass on those things, but still show up for the social event, it's always going to be, it depends. And what I'll claim, if there's one thing you can take away from the rest of this episode, it's this. My best recommendation to you, without knowing anything about you, your goals, the current situation that you're in, what you really desire for physique change, if anything, it's all going to come down to one question, and that's, what kind of timeline are you on? Because here's the deal. If we walk forward a couple of months from now, it's going to be Memorial Day before we know it. We're hitting March. We're going into month three of 2024. Yes, it's flying by. And if you are sitting here saying to yourself, I have really legitimate goals that I'd like to accomplish over the course of the next like 12 weeks, I'm not sugarcoating this for you. You got to get on it and you need to buckle down and do what you got to do because your timeline is shrinking and your timeline is collapsing. But the best advice that I can give you from someone who's been on all these ups and downs that I'm going to break down here in just a second is if you can get rid of that timeline, and if you can start to take a step forward in your fitness and nutrition and that journey and how it shows up inside of your life and recognize that these two things are not separate, I promise you the guilt, the second guessing, the thoughts of, ugh, why did I choose to go out to eat based on what I'm now seeing on the scale the next day? I promise you all of that goes away if you just give yourself permission to let go of the timeline. Now, granted, there are some of you out there that, like I said, let's just use Memorial Day because it's a very like stereotypical timing of unofficial, official start to summer. People are starting to get a little bit more conscious of, okay, how am I going to feel at the beach in my bathing suit, whatever it is. If you have that timeline, I work with clients all the time who have timelines like that. I've got a few clients that are in the throes of like the last sprint towards their weddings. Those are events where we have the conversation of, hey, is it worth it for me to go out to eat? Because that timeline is shrinking and you're getting closer to that big day. All valid reasons to potentially turn down an event or maybe say to yourself, instead of me showing up for this and participating in the food and the drink aspect, I'll eat before and I will still go out and have a good time and socialize with my friends, family, whoever it is. There are reasons and seasons to do that. But for the most part, what I see from the majority of you that I work with who are listening to this, from those of you who message me on Instagram, where I find that most people are getting stuck is they create these black and white rules and they tell themselves these stories that go something like this. Every time I go out to eat, I'm upset with what I see on the scale in the coming days. So I pretty much just assume that if I want to lose weight, I cannot go out to eat at all. That's the answer. I just can't drink. And that then spirals into, because I don't want to give those things up, I'm instead going to resign myself to the fact that I can't lose the weight, that I am not able to both have this vibrant social life to live my best life and also have the physique that I want. This episode is going to completely dispel that. And again, the number one way you can do that, even if you listen to nothing else that I'm about to say, I promise you the number one way you can do that is if you stop hanging on to timelines, because you hanging on to a timeline is actually keeping you on this dieting hamster wheel because it's just solidifying everything I just said, because you're sitting there being like, I need to consistently lose weight every single week in order for me to determine or classify this as quote unquote working, when in reality, if you could just accept that there's going to be some ebb and flow for this, because what you really want is that balance. What you really want is the flexibility to be able to say, hey, I'd love to go out to eat with my girlfriends. I'd love to go on a date night. I'd love to enjoy those few drinks and not be thinking about it for the next 5 days after that, not feeling like I need to be undoing something by going to the gym a little bit more, or feeling guilty if I then can't show up to go to the gym. None of those thoughts are serving you. And it all really begins with establishing an appropriate timeline for where you want to go. And we take social media, we take conversations with friends, we take some other methods that have been floating around these days in terms of really fast fat loss that shall remain nameless, but you know what I'm talking about. And we now live in this world of thinking that if it's not happening for me, where the scale is dropping week after week after week after week, it's not working and it will never work. I'm here to tell you, as somebody who lived in that mindset for a while, how did I undo that as step number one? Well, the first thing I did was I actually started tracking my food, because when I started to have an appreciation for the frequency with which I was going out to eat and therefore seeing how challenging it can be, and I'm going to caveat the statement in just a second, how challenging it can be to really be cognizant of how much food I'm consuming. I did go through a period in my life like 6 years ago, we'll call it at this point, like back in like early 2018 or 2017, when I really first got into food tracking, I went through phases with it where I was like, I just cannot go out to eat at all. And that was because I wanted the control and I didn't like this feeling of, I have no idea exactly what's on my plate to the degree that I could if I were at home. So I'm just going to say, oh, I don't want to go out to eat at all. And if you were that person, I just had this conversation with a client that honestly really inspired me to sit down and record this podcast. What I can tell you is that that's only going to work for so long, because what's going to happen? You're going to have a birthday, right? You'll have an event. You'll go on a trip. You'll be invited to something. And what are you going to do? Be paralyzed and feel like you can't go? Who wants to live like that? Real talk, like Fitness Fix doesn't work that way. So if that's the way you want to operate, I'm not the coach for you. And I know deep down, you probably don't want to operate like that, but in your mind, you think it's easier. And here's where I'm going with saying, I got to caveat this whole challenging thing. When I think back to that period where I was really questioning, why do I feel like I can't go out to eat? And why do I feel like I have to have all this control? It was because I actually didn't trust myself to just be logical with the information that I was learning from tracking my food. So I thought it would be useful to actually break down for you how I've grown 6-7 years later, and how now in 2024, amid a fat loss journey for myself, I started looking back on the last 8 weeks and I've had really steady results with a full social calendar every single weekend for the month of February. And I'm really excited because, like, yes, this is the proof in the pudding that when I live it, I get to show other people. And I want to walk you through those extremes and really kind of show you how I've gotten to this place. So the secret is classifying and taking in and trusting the information that you've learned when you are super dialed in, when you are going through periods where you are tracking and being really methodical about how you're looking at the breakdown of protein, carbohydrates, and fat. But this is where a lot of people get messed up. I see it with clients who are in, you know, they're cruising along, they're seeing great progress. Maybe they've gone out to eat here or there, but then all of a sudden, like me, they have these 4 weekends in a row where they have a bunch of events. They don't want to say no to those events, but they start feeling anxious around them because they're like, I've had so much momentum. I don't want that momentum to slow down. And here's the deal. Can you try to approximate and track your food? Yes, you can. So one of the tips that I can share that is super helpful, if you are somebody who already logs your food, I would encourage you to at least attempt it. Just try to track it, because it's going to give you a little bit more comfort around this idea of not having as much control as you do when you're at home. Think about it. If you just keep avoiding something, you're never going to learn how to deal with it, right? So avoiding it and not going out to eat, or avoiding it and not tracking it at all, is potentially a really poor solution. I shouldn't say potentially, it is a really poor solution, because it doesn't help you actually navigate your real life. Because what happens when you're done with the season of not going out, or when you're faced with a, hey, there's a holiday, a birthday, an event, and like, I'm going to go to this thing. You don't have the comfort. You don't have the story to show yourself. You don't have the evidence to show yourself that you are capable of making that decision and going to that event and having a good time, and knowing that, okay, if the scale comes up a little bit 2 days after, it'll be right back to where it was the previous Friday, so long as you show up for yourself in ways that you know make you feel your best and help you work towards that goal if you're continuing to look to lose fat for the rest of the week. And you can be that, like, yeah, it's all good. You can have that kind of energy around it if you spend a little time kind of getting your reps in. You know, the same way I would never encourage somebody who's literally never lifted a barbell in their life, I wouldn't have them walk into the gym and do a barbell back squat as a part of their very first workout if they're just getting comfortable in the weight room. Why would you do that to yourself? You were literally setting yourself up for failure. So same thing goes if you have this constant resistance to feeling like you're not capable of tracking your food when you go out to eat, just because it's not going to be as perfect. So what I typically have our Fitness Fix clients do is, within the first several months of our program, I do encourage them to attempt to track, but we just come together and acknowledge, hey, this isn't perfect. And that's okay. Because if you had to be perfectly hitting your macros all the time to be able to get the results you want, then nobody would stick to it for the long term. And I wouldn't even advertise it as a long-term solution, because it's ludicrous to think that we're going to be perfect all the time. So Let's get comfortable with that uncomfortable area of, hey, there's a little bit of gray. I have a client who likes to call it, he and I coined this term of like living in the gray area, and giving yourself the opportunity to go out a little bit more, knowing that if, let's say, over the course of 7 days, you typically eat, you know, three meals a day, you have 21 meals over the course of a week. If three of those 21 meals are a little bit of an estimation on your calories because you went out three times, I promise you, you still have the capacity to get to where you want to go. But the only way you're going to get that context, and the only way you're going to get that perspective, is if you actually spend some time trying to write something down when you go out to eat, because it gives you a very objective picture to be able to say, oh, like when I do go out and have a burger, obviously you guys knew I was going to give that example, it looks something like 800 plus calories. And where are those calories coming from? It's, you know, a decent amount of fat. I'm looking at least 30 plus grams of fat, knowing that it's not going to be the super lean 96.4 gram beef that I might use at home. And then acknowledging that there's butter involved, oil, maybe I'm throwing some cheese into the mix. But I have, and you listening, if you've never tracked your food, and if I had never tracked my food, we'd have no appreciation for what I'm saying, because we've never really like put the pen to paper, or in this case, put the thumbs into my Fitness Pal to be able to understand that. And from there, then understand how that choice of having the burger out fits into the rest of your day. So in having our Fitness Fix clients learn how to be okay with tracking this partially to the best degree that they can, the second step to it is to work backwards. And if you know that you're going out to dinner, let's say, well, we log that meal into whatever food tracking app we're using, MyFitnessPal in our case, first, and then plan the rest of our day around that. And over time, as you start to just practice that, eventually you can get to this kind of attitude and air that I have around it. And that's this: look at what's missing from that meal that you're eating out. Look at what's dominating in that meal that you're eating out, which would be carbs and fat. And then literally for the meals that you're making yourself, do the exact opposite. So even if you're not tracking anything, and again, I will say the prerequisite should be to track so that we have way more of an appreciation for this, like I've been explaining for the last few minutes. But if you're not tracking anything, I can give you this one really simple lens to kind of look through this. And it's just to say, okay, when I go out to eat, the menu is going to be high in fat and high in carbohydrates, and likely maybe moderate in protein, if not light in protein, depending on what food you choose and what cuisine it is. So all we have to do is flip it on its head and say, if I'm going to dinner, my breakfast and lunch and maybe that other snack I'm having will be lower in carbohydrates, lower in fat, and higher in protein. You literally just do the opposite of what you know that meal that you're eating out is going to really dip into, which would be calories coming from both carbohydrates and fat. Now, you might hear them be like, my head is spinning. And if you think that, that's because I know for a fact you have not put in the time to log your food. But I can tell you, for any Fitness Fix clients hearing that, as they get this experience under their belt of tracking their food for 6, 9, 12, 18 plus months, they can listen to that statement and be like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I know that makes perfect sense because I've used my food tracking and I've used understanding macronutrients beyond just calories as a tool to really appreciate how foods fit together. And because I'm now confident in understanding how foods fit together, I can then make choices that serve these two competing desires. Because in a way, guys, let's be honest, they are competing desires. You have this desire to go out and socialize and have a good time and have the drinks and eat the food you want to eat. And guess what? It's a competing desire with wanting to lose body fat because we don't live in a world that is designed for fat loss, period. We just don't. And because we don't, this is a play for me to then say, hey, here's another reason why tracking your food can be so helpful, because it gives you structure to be able to manage the environment that we live in, where it is tricky to be cognizant of making really, really technically what we call on paper healthy choices relative to if we were cooking those things at home. But there's this tug that a lot of people have, and I see it even more so, forget the, you know, social aspect just for the fun of it, but what about for those of you listening who have corporate jobs that require you to entertain clients? And we have these societal norms that entertaining clients looks like food and drink. And if you consider what I just said about the fact that, hey, we don't live in a world where going out to eat and picking that best option, that healthiest option isn't always so obvious or doesn't always feel so easy. Or the one I love that I hear all the time with being uncomfortable with tracking is like, well, we ordered a bunch of things to share. How the heck am I going to be able to track that? You don't. You might not need to every single time. Again, I want to be clear. I am saying this from the perspective of somebody who has had years of tracking experience. So I'm more comfortable with taking those training wheels off. It's like going from riding with the training wheels within a day than riding without them, is what I'm saying. But you can gradually do these things over time. In that first period where I kind of said, I'll walk you guys through it. I went from feeling like I could just not go out to eat. Then I started dipping my toe in the water a little bit. So I would practice it. Maybe I'd go once a week. Eventually, what happened to me was I felt so locked in and so stuck that I got to a point where I was like, I am sick of tracking this. And because I know it's not accurate, I'm just going to, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater here and be like, F it, I'm not tracking anything. That did not serve me. And it did not serve me because of everything I just said about the world that we live in, that it's not designed for fat loss. It's not designed for easy access to better quality food options, especially when you're on the go or especially when you're being reactive. The things we're reaching for are not going to be higher in protein if we need something quick. There's a reason why I get that question from people all the time. Hey, what's a really easy snack that's high in protein? They say the word snack, meaning they want something quick and convenient. Well, it's going to require a little bit of assembly because unless it's something like a protein bar, and even then we still have to acknowledge what else is in there, most of the time it's not going to be that high in protein. So the other theme to this outside of, you know, working through this gray area is also just learning how to plan. Hence my suggestion of, hey, work backwards and acknowledge the fact that you know that you're going out to eat. Beautiful. If we know that we're going out to eat, let's just plan the rest of our day around it. So it's being proactive as another step versus being reactive. And then let's acknowledge the whole other side of this, which is the fact that you may be sitting here saying to yourself, how can I get there? If I know that I want to go out to eat super regularly, but I also have a ton of resistance to tracking my food and I feel like I'm too busy for that and I feel like I don't have time for that, I also won't tell you that, okay, sorry, well, then if you want to go out to eat and you want to live your life and you don't want to monitor these things, well, then too bad for you. Because that's not true either. That's where that next phase kind of comes in of what I described of saying, okay, I know these foods are that I'm ordering out are going to be lower in protein, higher in fat, and higher in carbs. So what other decisions can I make around that? That's really just the inverse of the rest of the day. I'm going to prioritize protein. That's another way to look at it. But it's all about, again, going back to what I said at the very beginning, acknowledging the fact that the approach that's going to work for you and the one that you'll ultimately be happy with, keyword for you to be happy with, key phrase, has to align with the timeline that you set for yourself. Because if you're the person who wants to get to this end result in the next 12 weeks, you can't be as casual about it as I just said. You just can't. But you'd relieve a lot of the guilt that comes with it and a lot of the emotions if you stopped putting so much pressure on the timeline. And here's how I want you to think about that timeline, or here's how I want you to think about like categorizing what behavior is going to work for you versus what behavior isn't. It's zooming out. And it's saying to yourself, okay, over the course, just like I did when I broke down the 7 days, the 21 meals, if I ate out three times on the weekend, that's only three out of those 21 meals. This is where they can start to add up though, because if we zoom out and we zoom out over the course of a month, well, now we're talking about 12 meals, right? Because there's those four weekends, or maybe it's during the week. And I'm not saying you can't get a really great physique and you can't get to the results that you desire by eating out 12 times. You can't do it as fast. This is really important as somebody who isn't eating out that frequently. So again, there's that word of time coming back into the picture. And as you roll into this weekend, the reason why I said at the top of this episode that this timing for this is so perfect is because we're hitting March 1st. It's a brand new month. It's a clean slate for you. If you look back on last month and you're like, yeah, maybe I ate out a little bit more than I felt like I should, or I ate out a little bit more than I would have liked to, or maybe you've never thought about it with this kind of zoomed out perspective. So now you're questioning, is this something for me to monitor as I move into March? Well, hell yeah, it is. And you get to start right at the beginning of the month. So super easy tip that I have for you guys. I have a calendar that I keep on my fridge and my nutrition coach taught me this and I love it. I check off every day. I give myself a check if I hit my nutrition, and I give myself an X if I didn't hit it. I also monitor my training, but for this specific suggestion of going out to eat, just focus on the nutrition piece. If I go out to eat, I'll tend to just give myself an X because I know that I estimated. So can I argue that I hit my macros? I did a decent job, but it wouldn't have been as good, right? If I had just made every single meal at home. So I've been able to visually see over the course of the last 2 months that if I've gone out 4 to 5 times over the whole month, so that's really only once a week, right? Then I can still lose body fat. In this specific case, I have been losing an average of 1 pound a week. It fluctuated a little bit. It kind of stalled in the last 2 weeks of February because I went out 2 times in one weekend. So the second half of the month was double what I was doing in January and double what I was doing in the first 2 weeks of February. But what's really cool is I don't have to stress about it because I have this information that I took a step back and looked at. I just described to you in less than 30 seconds. And the reason why I have that information is because I actually tracked it. And that serves me so well because it helps me manage my emotions. And at the end of the day, that's really the last piece of all this. Where most people get stuck is blaming the choice of going out to eat, is blaming the choice of having the drinks. But what I want to leave you with, and what I want you to challenge yourself to really take a step back and think about going through this weekend, is how you're responding to the choices you made and the information you're getting as a result. So what I mean is, let's say you go out on Friday night. If you choose to step on the scale on Saturday morning, which I wouldn't even recommend doing, especially if you've had a drink, because it's like, why confirm that it's going to be up? But let's say you choose to do it. If you respond like, oh my God, how did this happen? And you start to feel anxious or upset or just some type of way about it, that's on you. Because you had the choice to either not go out. And that would have been one way to manage the emotion, because ideally the scale wouldn't have been up that next morning. But I'm going to do you one better and say this. how about we just work on managing the emotion regardless of the decision we make, but actually knowing that we're owning that decision and say, okay, cool. Like, I got to move on to the next day. And over time, if you find yourself continually saying, I got to move on to the next day, but you fast forward 3 months and you don't like how you look, well, cool. There's our chance to have an honest conversation about the changes that we might want to start making to get to where you want to go. But there is such a power and such a relief in actually working on the emotional reaction and managing that emotional reaction by just saying, you know what? I went out last night. I had a great time. And I trust myself enough to know that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this next week, I'm going to stay committed to the process that I set up with a coach, like one of our coaches at the Fitness Fix. And I'm going to be happy about it. And over time, you just develop a much more neutral relationship to the process because it just becomes who you are. So sit with that this weekend. Test yourself a little bit as you go through the motions of the next 3 days. And I'd love to hear from you. Shoot me a DM. Hopefully you'll be thinking of me when you're going out to eat and choosing how you're going to approach that meal, or maybe even ideally pre-planning for that meal. And then think of me if you choose to step on the scale that next day over Saturday or Sunday. And let's talk about it. Those are the moments where you can really learn if coaching is also right for you too. Because if you struggle with managing those moments, that's exactly where we can support you inside of the Fitness Fix. So you know what to do with that. Jump into the show notes. The link to apply for one-on-one coaching is there. And I got to get ready to go enjoy my weekend. And from wherever you're listening from, I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your day. And I'll catch you next week. See you later.